Now I'm here with John Worthington, founder and president of Tech2U. How you doing, John?
I'm doing great. How are you, Mark?
Doing great. We want to get inside the mind of John Worthington, the entrepreneurial mind. Talk to us about how you started Tech2U and what it's become today.
Okay, sure. Wow, how much time do we have to get
inside my
mind?
We have all day long, baby.
Sure. Yeah, it's a funny story. Todd and I have been friends. He's my partner, co-founder. Mm-hmm. Been friends for 20-plus years, met in college. And he went into IT. I went into real estate. We kind of went in a separate paths for a little bit. Got back together about 15 years ago. I was having a computer problem. This is 15 years ago before there was a Geek Squad or anywhere you can go, you know, with a brand name. And I had a problem with a brand new laptop. Called their tech support, and they're telling me, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to reformat your hard drive, da, 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 da. And I'm like, whoa, I know what that means. Wait, that means I'm going to lose all my data, right? Well, yeah, that's how we fix your computer for you, right? So I'm thinking, well, no, I can't do that. I have all these files. I call up Todd. I don't know who to call. You know, it's back then there wasn't anywhere to really go, right? So I call up Todd, and he's like, hey, don't worry about it. Don't touch the computer. I'll be right over. So a few minutes later, he comes over, pops in a CD, hits a few keys, and he's like, you're good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so from ripping out the hard drive to a little fix.
Yeah, so I'm like, whoa, okay, light bulb. I'm probably not the only person that's had this problem before, right? And he's like, yeah, probably not. I'm like, there's got to be other people experience this. I'm like, we should probably start a company. He's like, we should start a company. And I'm like, I'm serious. He's like, I'm serious. So we kind of evolved from there. And I thought, you know, okay, why don't we do a little marketing? Because I have a background doing marketing for my real estate career. And threw a couple ads out there, just kind of see what would happen. And he kept his full-time job and figured he'd go out and maybe do some repairs like evenings, weekends. And I got the phone to ring, the call started coming in. And then, you know, before we knew it, you know, a few months later, he's like, oh, I'm working like all the time. We got to make a decision here. Are we going to go for this? Are we going to, what do we do? You know? And I'm like, I think we should go for it. You know, it's working and it's fun. And, you know, I love Todd, love working with him. And so we made the decision. It was, you know, a lot of family discussions and a lot of friends involved with that decision. Cause you know, I had a very great real estate career. He had a very excellent IT position, in a real estate company, oddly enough, mm-hmm. But it was really, really good, secure pay and everything with benefits and all that stuff. And so, you know, we had a lot of discussions, but, ultimately we made the decision. Let's do it. Let's go all in, and best decision we ever made.
Yeah. Any regrets?
No, not at
Zero?
All. Not in terms of that. I mean, how long do you have?
Regrets in your life. Yes. Okay. Well, so you have this. Everybody knows Tech2U, right? Your billboards are across town. You do business all over the region. Give us a sense as to what the business is, and then let's continue down the entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah. So we started out with your typical break fix kind of computer repair, mostly residential, some small business, and then that evolved over time. So over the years, it's grown to managed services, which are larger organizations with monthly contracts. We started doing some website work, which evolved into web development, which in turn kind of spawned a digital marketing division, because if you're building websites, you really should be optimizing them for digital marketing, SEO, et cetera. So that kind of morphed into a whole digital marketing division. So we got multiple divisions now, and then we started getting into app development, did some consulting, and actually, lately, we've been picking up some competitors because it's a tough business. It's low margin. It's very easy to enter, right? Very low barriers to entry. So there's a lot of competition. It makes it difficult to survive. And so the survivors have made it through some really difficult market conditions. But they're real happy to get bought out. It seems that, you know, we're in a lot of discussions. We've picked
How
up
do
a
you
few.
Decide to acquire a company?
Well, we look at their reputation, number one, because that's really important to us is ours. Our company culture is really second to none. Todd and I were very, very hands-on in many, many years in the beginning of the company. We have like amazing staff and managers and assistants that way. But early on, we did all the hiring, we did all the training and it, you know, very, very close contact, make sure the culture was really strong. And it's created a fantastic foundation. We have very low turnover. Really, really strong company culture and bonds with everybody, and so we look for that same thing in our competition. First and foremost, it has to be a good fit that way. They have to have a good reputation, have a good culture, and then from there, obviously, you know, are they successful? Are they profitable? Mm-hmm. You know, what are the financials.
Well, thinking about you, real estate, there's a financial component to real estate, and obviously Todd with his IT background. But where was the skill? How did you learn how to scale a company and build a culture? Mm-hmm, I mean, were you self-taught? What happened?
That's a good question. So I think there's a lot of learning as you go, and some of our strengths you're just kind of born with, and our weaknesses, fortunately, don't really overlap, right? So we complement each other very well. And I think that over the years, we magically, really, almost just fell perfectly into some grooves where, you know, we weren't really monitoring what we were doing. We were just getting the job done, right? Todd's doing what he's doing. I'm doing what I'm doing. And there wasn't a lot of overlap. It was fantastic, like the complementary nature. And so, you know, I would focus on operational growth and development of the, you know, of the organization, marketing, and kind of pushing us forward, putting a cart in front of the horse a little bit. Sometimes we would do some hiring and acquiring vehicles, thinking ahead, like, you know, we don't necessarily need all of this capacity right now, but we were growing. We had a steep trajectory. So I kind of pushed it forward that way. And then Todd's been fantastic with, on an operational level, managing employees. He's such a great guy, and our staff really connects with him. We have a really good, like good cop, bad cop routine. And so that's helped us a lot.
I love it. So which one are you? Are you the good cop or the bad cop?
Well, yeah, no, I'm the bad cop.
Are you really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I was going to guess Todd, actually.
No. Todd's a sweetheart. I have to make the tough decisions. And
a really nice IT guy,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And a really tough sales marketing guy, mm-hmm, huh? Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting. So I agree that usually where a business partner works is when you complement each other's strengths, but it's more than that. I mean, it's a mm-hmm. marriage. Mm-hmm. There's what happens when you two can't agree? How does that work? Bad cop wins or good cop?
Well, you know, it's kind of an unspoken, kind of informal arrangement where Todd has always been very supportive of my leadership, and I'd put the initial financial investment in to get started. We did start as 50-50 partners, of course, but so financially I had a lot on the line, and I think in just Todd's nature, he's just really easygoing, and mm-hmm. you know, if there's a disagreement, you know, he trusts my judgment, and it makes it really easy, and that's a good point, because I think in any partnership, I think if you have two partners that are the same mentality, you could be in trouble, right? Because one, there's got to be a little give, and there shouldn't be too much overlap, right? Because otherwise, you just have two people trying to steer the ship, right? And so that could be challenging.
Well, I've seen in a lot of business partners, goals aren't aligned. In many cases, they are fully aligned, and others, they're not. But with you two having your own separate personal lives, right? Sometimes the businesses are built so that they drive a personal life. You want to build a company that focuses on lifestyle. You guys have obviously built a nice lifestyle, but yet you continue to reinvest back into the company.
Oh, yeah.
How aligned are you on that, and why?
Very much so, because we had a long-term goal of being the best in the business and growing the company as fast as we can and winning, beating our competition, doing everything we can to outwork and outsmart them, and created systems from the beginning, early on, at a great expense to optimize and create efficiencies that have been expensive, but they've been long-term valuable investments in our growth. And we shared that vision from the very beginning.
Well, I think you guys have been great at attracting the team. You talked about culture, and I know Danny, one of the young men that is a leader in your organization, as a guy that I coached in football, ironically. And anyway, so I see what you've done there. And I know that sometimes this building a team that will run through a brick wall together, that can make up for other kinds of challenges that you have. But I want to challenge you on your strategy. So you have this consumer group that started out fixing home repair for computers. Then it evolved to more of the commercial side, right? Or doing businesses. Mm-hmm. And you continue to evolve this thing. Why not pick, and you know, you've got marketing and websites, and I know you even have a new venture that you're working at. Why not focus on one piece and scale the crap out of it? Why evolve into this breadth of product offerings?
Well, there's a few reasons. Some of the top reasons and the biggest benefit to doing it this way is having options for our employees, our staff, as at the entry level, creates a lot of longevity, right? Loyalty, because we have the ability to move people up through the ranks, right? So if a technician starts in the shop or in the field, and doing virus removal and your typical stuff. That's not like a life-changing career, right? But in the long run, I would say most technicians, they have their eye on the future, which is getting into enterprise level, more complicated environments. And so we offer that by having more advanced business divisions. We can promote from within, and it's a fantastic retention tool. It's worked out very, very well in our favor. So that's a big one. There's a lot of other benefits because the divisions are very complementary. If you're, the calls are coming in all day long. We're in multiple cities. We have 11 locations. So we're getting leads all day long for websites and digital marketing, IT, all the way from the break fix to the contract level. So, so we have
sitting
options
there for the taking with your existing customer base.
Yeah.
So thinking about that though, you're making acquisitions. What kind of company do you want to acquire? I mean, you have these different components. Most people don't have this breadth of offering. So when you go out to target an acquisition, are you talking about somebody on the commercial side or in marketing or something else?
Yeah, lately it's been where we were 10 years ago, kind of the smaller type of break fix, a little bit of small business, a little bit of contract work. Those are very easy takeout targets because they've been in the business for 15, 20 years often. And so they're kind of stuck in the mud and thinking, well, how long are we going to do this? Should we get out? Whatever. we have looked at some digital marketing companies as well. Those are slim pickings. They're usually like a younger company. They're not really interested in selling, right? Mm-hmm. It's an exciting business. It can be fast growing and fast paced. So we're on the lookout for that. And then of course, on the managed services side, if we come across something, competitive though. Those are usually higher margin businesses. So we're not going to get the typical incredible deal that we're going to get on a smaller business because they've got their high margin, their high profit. They're not really in any kind of urgent situation, which is what we look for. Obviously, we want to get the best deal we can, and we immediately add profit to our bottom line in those cases, especially with our systems that we implement.
Yeah. Well, thinking about marketing, right? You're the marketing guy and a CEO, I'm wondering whose idea was the name of the company, Tech2U, phenomenal name, and then who drives the marketing plan for the organization, right? You're on billboards. You've obviously got great digital. You're known. How does that happen?
Yeah, that's been mostly my marketing efforts came from up here. And I think the name, Todd and I were just kind of kicking around names, and originally it was Tech Service to You because 15 years ago, there was no Geek Squad or technicians per se that would come to your house. There was tech support. We felt like the name needed to be more descriptive early on, but we had the intention long-term to shrink it down to Tech2U. So we had our eye on tech2u.com for years. We didn't own it, but Todd had started a conversation years ago with the guy who owned it, and knowing that eventually we're going to, he wasn't using it, right? So we were going to keep in contact with him, and when the time was right and the industry became more familiar, we were going to shrink it down. So that's kind of how it evolved from Tech Service to You, which is kind of a mouthful, but it explained what we did, right?
Yeah.
And so now it's Tech to You, which is kind of more recognizable. And I just love marketing. I did a lot when I was in real estate. I had a pretty cool marketing plan it got a lot of leads for me, and I was real young and figured, maybe I have a talent for this. And that's how the whole thing started when Todd and I were talking. I'll throw some ads out there. Let's see what happens.
Well, I'm wondering what kind of business you don't like, because I'm picturing a computer is becoming almost a disposable item. So you have to drive out there to somebody's house to fix something. You can't do it for free. And yet, so often you can just scrap the computer for, what's a new computer run? $1,000? And, why not just get a new one?
Yeah.
Or do you guys get involved in selling the new one too and hooking it up?
We do. And, $1,000 is still $1,000, right? And so, if you can fix it for under $200, and it's not always that easy, right? So we get asked this question a lot. It's not as easy as just, just go get a new computer, because here I am. I own a tech company, but I'm your standard customer, right?
Okay.
And that helps me with my marketing, and it helps me with the vision, because I'm your average, know a little bit, but not a lot, right? And so if I were to go get a new computer, I'm kind of lost getting the information from the old one onto the new one, right?
Right.
So that still costs money if I, you know, I have a company I can go to. But, you know, the programs don't transfer, right? And then all the files and everything, where they go and all, it's hard, you know? So it's not as simple as I'll just throw the computer away. And plus, we've been hearing for years and years, oh, computers are going to be, you know, disposable. They're going to be free, but really they never have. And we projected out, we looked at it like, you know, yeah, the technology keeps improving, but they keep throwing more stuff into it. Right. They're really complicated machines. They're still, you know, several hundred dollars or over $1,000 often. And then there's so much more around it, like the Wi-Fi setup and, you know, everything in your home is becoming technical. And, you know, we figured, you know, maybe someday it won't even be computers, but we're technicians, we're tech to you, whatever's plugging in the wall is probably going to need some type of networking or maintenance, right? So there's going to be a need, you know, that, and that's what drove us all along is that, you know, there's always going to be need for something in the home and the small business that's tech related, tech service related, right? So that's kind of where we got our security from.
So thinking about the future, what's the vision for tech to you?
Well, we have a couple things we're considering, right? So long term, it's possible, and we've talked about this for years, We may go into franchising. That's something that none of us really have a lot of experience with. I wouldn't want to just try and jump into it without having some expertise, you know? So, you know, if we came across the right partner, somebody that has a lot of experience and a good track record, we would consider creating a model like that because like, we have the systems now and that took years to develop. I mean, we invented the pricing. We invented the invoice structure, all of it. Like none of it, there was nothing to copy, right? So, you know, originally we started hourly. We found there's problems with hourly, right? Because some technicians work faster than others, which isn't really fair to the customer. And then some technicians, they'll just want to give the money away for free. They'll be there for 2 hours and just charge an hour, right? And so that's where it kind of morphed into the flat rate pricing. And then, you know, as we learned and developed our skills with the business, we realized, okay, we need systems that run this business on a scalable level, which we built our internal software. Took a long time, but it does everything end-to-end, inventory, all the scheduling and dispatching, all the logistics, because we're open 7 days a week, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. So there's no downtime. There's no chance for us to just turn off the car and start working on the engine. Mm-hmm. Like we literally have to work on the engine with the car running every day. So our systems we've been developing in this environment, and they're excellent now. So now we're at a point where we could scale it, create a model that we could replicate for franchisees. And we're talking about that a lot.
That would take you national, international. How far would you expand?
I mean, eventually it would be international, sir. But first start national, especially locally, because we have our fingers in a lot of cities around here just organically.
Yeah, so you have the tech to you side of the house, which is extensive in nature, and you're considering a franchise opportunity as we speak, but you're also starting something completely different. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, sure. We've been working on a kind of a passion project for the last 3 or so years. It was Todd's idea, it was a brilliant idea. And when he first told me about it, I was like, man, that is a really good idea. How come no one's doing that? So essentially, it's an alternative to Yelp. It's kind of like a Yelp meets Facebook for recommendations, because Yelp does recommendations, Facebook does social. They both get into each other's a little bit, but not really. And he was telling me, you know, hey, why is there not a place I can go to just see what my friends are recommending? Right? I'd rather go to your car guy than trying to read online reviews. I don't know these people. And I'm like, yeah, you know, no one's doing that, right? And so it started out with an idea, you know, I'm like, yeah, because we have a great circle of friends, you know, we have a circle of businesses we use. I'm thinking, well, why don't we call it Circles?
Ha ha. You know? Another great name, yeah, right? Yeah. Circles. That's, but it starts with an S.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Circles with an S, and it's your circle of friends and it's recommendations on where you ought to do business.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, at first we were like, well, what does it look like? Is it a website? Is it an app? I don't know. You know, so it kind of sat on the shelf for a year. We're sketching things and just, you know, throwing stuff at the wall, seeing what's sticking. And eventually a sketch came to life. It's like, okay, what about this? Right. And so, cause we wanted it to be a Circles theme. We didn't want to just create a list like everything else, you know, Craigslist or a Yelp or a Nextdoor. Everybody's doing like a list view. So we wanted to do something unique that sets us apart. So we created the Circles app with a Circles theme. So it's basically circles that interact with other circles. If you see it, you know, it's very simple to use and navigate. And then we turned it from a passion project to kind of an all-out obsession.
We're going for this.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of the same with Tech to You, right? Yeah. We you know, test in the waters a little bit, see if we can make something of it. You know, we wouldn't dive in all the way if we didn't think we could take it all the way, right? So, you know, through a lot of development and testing and market research, we realized, you know, this is something that could really change the world. Like this is something that the world needs right now. Social media has kind of let down the public. You know, they offered connectivity and all this positivity and all this stuff they promised us, and it did not turn out that way. It's a very negative environment. You know, kids are bullied and there's shaming and there's people are committing suicide. They're going and checking, not even getting enough likes. They're like, you know, and feeling like less of themselves. And so when we set out to do this, we built this platform 100% based on positivity. And that's an important goal and mission for us, is that we're going to fix what's wrong with social media and the Yelps of the world. Yelp's such a bully. We, as a small business, we get bullied all the time. We figured, let's make something that's fair and transparent, and that makes people feel good, right? Because I love sharing things with my friends and when they share things with me, and let's keep it positive. So we built the app to eliminate all the drama and negativity and politics. That's all stripped out. So this app is built on a platform of just positivity and transparency and sharing. And I think that gives us a huge edge because, you know, Facebook and these guys, they're good at copying their competitors. They can go out there, take features and blow it out of the water, right? There's one thing they can never copy with us because it's too late for them. They can't make their platform positive. They're kind of stuck with the negative, that drama and everything that's built in. So they're going to have a hard time reinventing themselves. So we have some big advantages going for us, some cool features in it. We're pretty excited about it.
So thinking about that, you say it's going to change the world and you're obsessed and committed, yet Tech to You has all this growth opportunity ahead of it with the potential for franchising and acquisitions. How does a guy like you divide his time? I'm still going to accuse you of potentially straddling your strategies a little bit, right? You can't have one foot on the train and one foot on the train station. It's like, which way am I going? How do you decide how you commit to each day?
Right, right. Yeah, and I've been through this before. You know, there was a tough decision I had to make. Am I getting out of real estate and going 100% into Tech to You? And, you know, we made that decision again recently with Circles. And so I'm all in on Circles, and you're right. You can't really do both. Todd's a fantastic partner, and now we have a lot more support and leadership. It's not all on our shoulders. So the core business is really self-sustaining with Todd's leadership and some of our other guys. So it gives me a lot of peace of mind to be able to free myself up and go for this other vision that we have. And so it's been working, but you're right. It does take focus, and it takes obsession to make any business work. Uh-huh. Let's face it.
All right. So thank God you have Todd, right? Obviously a great business partner. You've got this obsession. Just thinking about other people who are faced with these choices. I mean, I'm one of those guys that gets accused of chasing shiny objects, right? I own or I'm invested into a lot of companies, but you know, how do you formulate this attack and you know, any other advice to the guys like me that maybe have ADD a little bit?
I guess everyone's a little bit different, but you know, if you can find great partners, and you know, the biggest thing for me is surrounding myself with people that are better at the things that I'm not good at, right? And so that has helped me, and that helped me a long time ago in my real estate career. I had fantastic support with contractors and escrow officers and lenders and coordinators and all that stuff. And same thing in this business. There's a lot of people that are much better than me at areas where I know I have my weaknesses. And so if you can surround yourself with, you know, the right partners, and that goes for investing too. You know, if you believe in the management team and their mission and their competency, then that's a good bet.
Yeah. Todd Worthington, thanks for sharing your story. I mean, you're such a humble man. You're building these incredible businesses. Thank you for what you are doing for the entrepreneurial community. Thanks for sharing your story today.
Hey, well, thanks for having me today, Mark. I really appreciate it.